For just a little while, if you'll turn to the 17th chapter of the book of Acts, not a little while, a few minutes. I was reading this. You pray for me. I had a lot of thoughts on this, and probably will take 3 minutes, but they were good, but they were also scattered. Sort of my mind wanted to go a few different ways in this, but I feel like the Lord gave me a single topic in mind, and that would be that hymn that was sang just a few minutes ago, "Kindred in Christ." Through history, I guess we see that, or a lot of us have seen, especially through modern day television, books, that when we think of the most immoral societies that probably in history, although there be many, but as far as what we have seen visibly through portrayal on TV or books or whatever, we think of Rome and we think of Athens with the mythical gods and so on and so forth. And those were real things. And the Apostle Paul here, along with others, are addressing these Athenians. But I want to point out something. Is Paul didn't wind up in Athens just by happenstance. He was led there. And there's one reason that he was led there, I believe, and that's because the Lord had people there. Again, we've heard often that this Word of God is to His people and to His people only. And I don't believe that His Word has been anywhere in vanity. So if it went, there was a reason it went. So now, how many were there? Who knows? Could have been one, could have been 1,000. That's not for us. That's for the Lord. That's His work. But nonetheless, Paul and his brethren were obedient, and then they went, and they preached Jesus. So I'll just get started. I want to begin reading in chapter 17, verse 22. It's really hard to just jump in and start, but again, for sake of time, and I'm going to start. Verse 22, it says, "Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, 'You men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, who dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth all life and breath and all things.'" And this next verse is really what was on my mind. "And hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said. For we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at." Let me start that again. "And the times of this ignorance God winked at," or he looked over, "but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." I'm going to stop there. I want to just touch on this last verse for a minute. Even though this was wrote a long time ago, this language is present tense.
Yes.
"But now commandeth all men everywhere to repent." And we know this all men, that's the Lord's people. Hmm. But we're commanded. They were commanded then, and that then was now. And now is now. I know that sounds funny, but that's what it is. It's present tense. And we are commanded, if we're out of the way, it's time.
Yes.
It's time. It's time to repent. So getting back to this kindred in Christ, it says here, and I'm going to bounce right here from these last three verses. It says here, let's see. Give me just a second. Verse 28, the last part of it says, for we are also his offspring, talking about Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And then immediately below that, it says, for as much then, we are the offspring of God. You ever thought about that? You ever thought about how we are the offspring of God? You know, that and it's in Christ Jesus. You know, that we've heard so many times here that it's not a physical offspring, but that transimputation, that perfection, that perfected blood of Christ, if you will, was transimputated to us, or imputated to us. And that's how we are the offspring of God.
Yes.
In a like fashion, you know, we are all of Adam. We are all of Adam's blood, every one of us. And again, I mentioned last week how it's amazing how the Lord uses the physical to parallel the spiritual, or vice versa. And that's exactly what he did there. We are all under Adam with cursed blood. We were in his loins. We were cursed. When Adam fell, we fell. It's just the same as Uriah did it. And when Jesus died on the cross and was resurrected, it's the same as us being resurrected.
Yes.
It's exactly the same.
Amen.
So we are his offspring.
Yes.
That's an amazing thing. And he has made us of one blood, all nations. When that wall of partition was rent, when Jesus died, and that middle wall of partition was rent, and we can look in to the Holy of Holies. At that moment, there was no respect of persons no more. We were all made of one blood. We all meet at the foot of the cross, at the feet of Jesus.
Yes.
We're made whole in that. We are made, again, one blood, all nations. And then he says, just below that, and when I first read through this, I wasn't exactly sure. And I guess this was, a little ice on the cake from some of the things we've heard in the last few weeks about the topic of the kingdom. And if you really think about that topic, and you begin to think about it, when you read the Lord's Word, it's all through it. I mean, you can see kingdom language all the way through it.
Yes.
And again, right here in this verse, brothers and sisters, verse 26, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth. Now that's dwelling on the earth. And hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. When I first read that, and I still may not have a complete understanding of that, but the bounds of their habitation, you know, and in the Old Testament, the Lord's people, they had a bound to the land that the Lord had given them, and it's where they lived in, thrived in, if you will. And in a like fashion, he has given us a bound to this spiritual habitation that is given us.
Yes.
There's a bound to it, and we, you know, the next thing outside of that bound, from a spiritual sense, is when he comes and takes the church home, or we leave in death, whichever comes first. That would be the spiritual bound. The physical bound is if we step out of that, we begin to separate ourselves.
Yes.
So there's your spiritual bound. I mean, your physical bound. And then right below that, some more instruction. That they should seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him. If we seek the Lord happily, within the bounds of what he's given us, as one blood, as one people, I believe he'll bless us mightily.
Amen.
I believe he'll bless us mightily.
Amen.
So let us have a desire to, again, like I say, I know I say it often, you know, it's easy to look around and see other folks, what they're not doing. Well, again, I don't care what flag they fly. I know that phrase is used here often too, but if our brothers and our sisters, we're still kindred in Christ.
Yes.
We're still kindred in Christ.
Yes.
So pray that the Lord would help us and grow us up into these things that we may see them more clearly. And if we can see them, the more clearly we see them, the more they'll bless us.